Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Happy Friday, Scott.
Is it Friday again?
It is.
I thought Monday was Friday, but it's been a week.
Friday comes around once every 7 days. Always at the same time. Imagine that.
It's just another day that ends in Y.
Yes.
Why?
Why? Is that what you ask every day? Why? Why another day?
Yep, that's it.
Oh, yes. So, what do you want to talk about today? I have a headache. I'm struggling today. I've been struggling to focus all morning.
Yeah, no, this will be good. I got to get a lot out of you today, too.
Yeah, that kid's coming up quick.
You know, it's been a while since we've talked about SharePoint. Why don't we do a little bit of stuff that's been going on in SharePoint land since they've been a little busy on the blog over there.
All right. Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm thinking that there's going to be even more coming up at Ignite. Ignite's getting closer, too.
It is. We should probably sign up for like a hotel or something. We'll see.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much I'm going to be down there. I'm definitely going to try to make it down there for at least a couple days. Baby will be only 7 weeks old, so we need to convince my wife to let me escape.
Well, that'll be easy. She won't want to have anything to do with you. She's going to blame you for the life that you've given her.
Yeah. Anyways, but we should. Yeah. Hopefully we'll be podcasting down there. We're still trying to iron out some details. I know we got approved for the podcast center. We just have to make sure we have hotel registration, all of that in line.
That we can get in the building.
So that we can actually get in the building to leverage the podcast center. It's always a good thing, right?
Yeah. We'll see.
Okay. So after that little derailment from our topic of SharePoint. Yeah. Some of the stuff that's been going on in SharePoint. What do you want to start with? Page metadata?
Yeah, page metadata is a fun one.
It is. So this is one of those announcements that was announced at the SharePoint conference. I think we covered it briefly. I have not played with this yet. This should be in your tenant now if you are on targeted release. And they were targeting the end of July, which is like today. We have like 4 more days left in July when we're recording this.
So they still got time.
Yeah, they have for the complete worldwide rollout into production. I have not heard any updates on the worldwide rollout. I see some people asking if it's been completed, if it's out there. There isn't a lot of information on whether it's actually out there, whether they're going to hit the end of July or not. But essentially what this allows you to do is tag your SharePoint pages with metadata. So lists, libraries, those have always had metadata in SharePoint. You can always go add custom columns and metadata to it to do tagging and all of that in your content. So do you know, was the metadata feature, I'm assuming, was always there in Pages? It just didn't let you do some of the audience thing they're rolling out now.
It's always been there because Pages are just stored in a library.
In a library, right. It's another
they're
library.
They're just a document, so we can do whatever we want with them. And you can have that metadata. What they've done is they've surfaced it up a level. So, you know, it was just available within the library, so you could kind of filter and sort within there. But it didn't do you much good when you were actually displaying the page to a user, or you're a user that's browsing to that page. So if you have a set of pages in your site and maybe you want to filter by, like you said, like an audience, by like a geography or where somebody comes from, or have a drop down and let people flip back and forth, well, now you can have that choice field or that metadata associated with the page, and then it's actually surfaced within the page details. So when you go into kind of the modern editor and fly out and hit the information. So say you did that, say you did like a continental geography thing. So am I in North America, South America, Australia, Africa, whatever it happens to be, then you could associate one page with one or more of those metadata elements and then do filtering on the pages. So as you're using something like a highlighted content web part, well, that web part is going to have a native filter for page properties and then let you target that specific property name, like geography or continent or whatever you call it. And when it equals this, when it contains this, when it is this, and maybe I want to filter by like some kind of date or something like that, or how I want to filter and sort and put all that data back on the page. So now what you have is you have the ability to author all those pages in place, associate the metadata that you need to associate with them, either directly through page details or through the library view, right? We'll just go into site contents and go ahead and browse back to the library and go ahead and adapt the data back there and throw everything together and then go back to another page, you know, maybe your home page or something like that. If it's some kind of hub or landing page, throw the highlighted content web part on it and then go ahead and do your targeting within that.
Yeah. And that's the aspect of this that's it's really nice, because I know I've been in global organizations before, or even ones that aren't necessarily global, but across the entire US. And not all of those news articles, not all of that information is necessarily relevant to everybody. Maybe there was a new law that was just passed in Texas, so only your employees in Texas need to see that announcement. This would allow you to then target your Texas page with certain pages. I'm curious to see where this goes, if this is going to eventually replace the audiencing that we had in the past, where it dynamically showed you content based on certain Active Directory properties, how this might maybe tie back into that eventually.
That's different, right? Audience targeting. And they've talked about how audience targeting is going to come to the modern experience and all that good stuff. So that's just kind of classic coming over to modern. Really what this is, I think this is a little bit more of like a content management construct where you'll come in and do some dynamic filtering and display on a page based on not a property of the user, but based on a property of the page itself. Yep. And then what they've done is they've extended that a level further, and you can kind of go up to the page itself. So now we have that page, like you said, maybe it's targeted by a geo, or even think like a role-based kind of thing. Like, hey, I've got my HR site, and HR is going to have all the pages for all the roles in the organization. But I want to have landing pages where people can come in and say, show me all the roles that are related to IT. Show me all the roles that are related to finance, to sales, whatever it happens to be. So you can go ahead and put those out there. You can construct the page, have the metadata on the page, and that metadata can either be hidden behind the page and just used purely as like a filtering and sorting mechanism, or they do have a page properties web part as well. So a modern web part where you can go ahead and surface that data up and have it directly available on the page too, so people understand what it is and why it's there and what it's doing.
Yeah, that's kind of a nifty web part. I was actually playing with that the other day for a client that was looking at doing something like policies and procedures in SharePoint, and maybe leveraging a site library instead of writing all of these in documents, writing them in SharePoint pages, and then they could surface that type of metadata on the page. Like maybe it's a policy number, or whether it's a policy versus a procedure, or what department that applies to. And then you could surface all that metadata just right on the page there using that web part.
Exactly. So there's some limitations to this though. It exists only within the page and the site that it's deployed to. So I can't have a highlighted content web part over on a hub site and have that hub site understand that the pages library and these three other associated sites, because they're not sub sites anymore, right? They're all spokes off the hub, have that understand what they are and what's going on. So those pages, the pages and the content that displays it, like the highlighted content web part, things like that, they all need to exist within the same site collection. So hopefully we can extend this over time with actual content types and get it tied into things like search and have a cross-site search experience, maybe something similar to highlighted content, but searching rather than just kind of filtering and displaying stuff that's in the site. And then another one that I noticed with this one, and I used to do this all the time back with the old filter web parts in Classic, was those were all query string driven. So you could have just links on other pages that drove you directly into certain filtered views on pages based on the query string that was coming in. And there doesn't look like there's any kind of query string driven stuff going on here. So hopefully they add some things like that. But if anybody is interested in this, they do have a user voice all up and running and ready to go for SharePoint, right? So you can go ahead and, you know, say, hey, I'm looking for a feature, or I want to see this, or, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Yep. This will be a lot like the other stuff they've done with Modern, where because they're iterating on this stuff a lot faster, rolling it out a lot quicker. There's going to be things that maybe you could do in the old environment that aren't quite there yet. They don't work the same way. They're looking for feedback from you guys too on what you're trying to do, what you want to do, ways maybe you leverage some of the things in Classic that aren't there yet in Modern, so they actually know that, hey, people are using this. They want to use this. So definitely go out to user voice, give them feedback. And what I've come to learn with Modern UI is don't expect everything to be there all at once. They just keep rolling stuff out all the time. There's always new stuff there. It's always changing. It's not the, at least we don't have to wait 3 years to get something new. We start getting it slowly over time.
Yeah. So like you said, it's out there. It's kind of kicking around. Your mileage may vary with features, things like that. So if you're going to have a play with this, make sure you do a couple things. So definitely go out, take a look, browse back to the listen library, start to add your metadata. If you want that data to be surfaced and surfaceable and available in like the highlighted content stuff, make sure it's part of the site page's content type so that it filters and actually gets up there, because it looks like that's kind of how they wrote that one and authored that one to get it in place and have it come up to where it needs to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And push it around a little bit.
I have another Information Architects announcement that came out. Sort of Information Architects. I do. This one was super interesting, and especially considering I had a conversation somewhat related to this with a client just yesterday, was there are some updates now to this SharePoint self-service site creation and how it interacts with groups. So for a long time, past, I don't know, it's probably been over a year now, if you wanted a modern site, so modern communication site, modern team site, whenever you created a modern team site, you got an Office 365 group. No way around it. It's just how it was. You could go in and disallow creating groups. It would disallow creating modern team sites. Now you're going to have the ability to allow your users to create modern team sites, even if Office 365 group creation is disabled for them.
Yay!
Yeah, I think. As long as you want all your users to be able to go and create sites. Or well, modern team sites. I think overall...
there is that.
Yeah. Overall, though, having the options or having more flexibility around how this all works is going to be really good. And that ability to, again, create these modern sites without necessarily having to create a group. Because, let's face it, you didn't always need groups with some of the modern sites you were creating, especially considering those groups tended to go spin up a few other services in the background when all you really wanted was just a modern SharePoint site.
Yeah. You mean you didn't want an email address for every single site you created?
No, not particularly. And I didn't always want a planner plan and the shared mailbox, calendar. I didn't always need all of that. And now that they have that ability, or they're coming up, rolling out that ability to convert a team site into a group.
To groupify.
That's right. I got to stay up to date with my terminology. Groupify team sites. That kind of allowed you to do this too, because now you can create team sites. And if you realize, hey, I want a group, great. You can groupify your team site. So they're changing that UI a little bit. Now when you go select a team site or create a new site, if you do have that ability to disable groups, they can still go create a modern new team site, communication site. And they can also, this was a new feature in that UI too, you can now select the default language for the site at the time you create it. So again, going back to if you're a global company and maybe you have sites in different countries, different languages, you can select that default language for the site when you create it. And they did. They came up with a bunch of admin controls around this too. Site creation updates. So now in your settings, I have to remember what it used to be like, what all they've changed.
So now you have hide or show,
yep,
the create site command, right? So let's just have that.
Although that one's always been there. That one's been
right
there since what? Like SharePoint 2010.
Yep. So that's the top level one. So now you get to, you kind of have to pick and choose. Do you want it to be the new team site or the communication site experience? Or do you want it to be classic sites? And if you do classic sites, you'll have the ability, just like you had in the past, to go ahead and target into individual managed paths. So like slash sites or, slash whatever happens to hop up in there, because we still can't create custom managed paths because, you know, the way they coded that in SharePoint, memory hog. But anyway, so you'll have the ability to do that. And then the other one that you've got now is the sub-site creation control. So once a site's created, we're supposed to be encouraging, or at least kind of the way Microsoft and all the evangelists out there are kind of telling you, like, hey, let's go to more flat site structures. Don't do the go like very wide and very shallow. Don't go thin and deep anymore.
Yes.
And let those run through. So the way, you know, it's kind of hard to prevent like sub-site creation because you'd have to go and customize permissions or move things around and it might not actually work the way you want it to work or unintended consequences and all that. So you'll have a sub-site creation option as well where you can hide that sub-site command or you can go ahead and show the command or you can just hide it for classic sites. So what that's going to do is when you're actually in that site after it's been provisioned. So I went ahead and provisioned a new modern team site, like a communication site. Let's go ahead and throw that up. And now when you go to that site, when you go up to like a list or library, or you go into like site contents and you hit new, you know, you would typically see a subsite in there, but now you actually have the ability to block that, which will keep all that stuff nice and flat.
Yes. And then you can just leverage your hub sites to create that hierarchy. So
you can, as long as, you know, you meet the quotas and limits of hub sites.
Yeah. And you don't want to layer more than two levels because you can't hubify a hub site.
No, you can't.
Not yet. I don't know if they're ever going to do that or not. That just sounds like a mess. But you may call me an evangelist or a Microsoft groupie, whatever. But I really like this ability to hide the subsite command. To me, doing SharePoint subsites and subsites and subsites just ended up being a mess. Just in general, I'm becoming more and more a fan of this. Just keep it flat and do some tagging or do hub sites and create an artificial hierarchy of sites by leveraging, again, navigation, hub sites, metadata. There's lots of different ways you can create the illusion of having a hierarchy of sites while keeping everything flat, keeping them all site collections.
It's shifted the burden a little bit, right? You have to think about things in a different way. So now that you've lost that security boundary of a site collection, you know, you need to think a little bit higher level about things like how you're going to structure security groups and potentially share them across. Some of the search experience isn't the same in modern as far as kind of like what you can pull back in some of the hub sites. And, you know, there's still some limitations there that everybody is kind of coming to grips with and starting to figure out and really wrap their heads around now. So I think that's all well and good. Well, I mean, it is what it is, right? It's changing and it's not going back. So you kind of like got to get on board the train or you'll definitely be left behind.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology, fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. So this is going to be interesting. I'm going to revisit the whole create a modern site, even when group creation is disabled. So this addresses it from that create new site button.
Yep.
In the SharePoint, I guess we could call it the SharePoint homepage, that SharePoint.aspx page. I wonder how this is going to change from an admin perspective, or if you are creating them, say, from central admin or using PowerShell commands to create some of these sites. I would imagine, hope that there's going to be options from that admin side as well to say, hey, I just need a modern site. Think if you're going to put some type of provisioning around it or...
Oh, buddy, admin controls?
I'm an admin. Yes. Give me my admin controls.
Yeah. I mean, you know right now that whatever they put in place on day one is going to suck and it's not going to address anything you want it to because that's just the way they roll these things out. Like these are end user facing features. This is effectively a UI change, right? It's kind of a new wizard and a new flow for site creation. Fundamentally, it just from the way it's structured on just the UI side, doesn't look like a whole lot lot changed on the back end, right? It's not like they surface some new magic API that they're going to have to go rework the PowerShell tooling and everything else, but it just works the same as it does today.
Right. Although something there is still changed on the back end to essentially say, don't create a group, just create a team site.
It's driven out of Azure AD. So in Azure AD, when you look at a user, like go down to an individual user level and enumerate your users, there's a property on users called enable group creation, and that's kind of like disabled or enabled. So you can go ahead and set that to enabled or to disabled rather, and that's what's driving that UI experience on the front end.
Of whether it creates a group or not.
Yep.
So it's nothing in the API, it's just an allow or a disallow, and you get blocked from that group actually being created.
Yeah. So it's all UI driven. And if you want another example of this being UI driven, so if you turn off subsite creation, all that's doing is hiding the button. If you go ahead and browse to the create new subweb form, like the ASPX page, the page is still going to pop up. It's still going to allow you to put in your data, and it's going to allow you to hit create.
You just made a whole bunch of admins mad at you if their end users listen to the podcast.
But this is what I'm saying, though. It's a UI-driven thing, right? It's not API-driven. It's not a fundamental change in the way that the security is administered or anything else. We're talking about driving end user experience and not necessarily actual implementation.
Well, and I guess from the admin perspective, you can still kind of get the modern UI, because even if you create a classic team site now, you can go in and to your pages, add a site page, and that site page now has the modern UI, and all of a sudden your classic site now has a home page with a modern UI on it, and you don't have a group because you created a classic team site in the admin center. So there's still ways around it from an admin perspective.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Good times.
Over time, it'll get locked down.
Exactly. Just like going back to what we said about the metadata. They just push the stuff out and then they keep iterating on it. I just have to be patient. I lack that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. It happens.
I want everything right now.
You want everything right now, huh? Not gonna happen.
No. All right.
What else you want to run through? There's a couple more things here.
There is. How about, do you want to go through more UI stuff or more admin stuff? Take your pick.
Oh, let's take some admin stuff. Make the admins happy.
Let's take admin stuff. Idle session timeout policies.
Yay!
And SharePoint Online and OneDrive is now generally available.
That it is.
They have a whole YouTube video on this, configuring it. It is PowerShell driven, just like a lot of things. What I've noticed, everything always comes to PowerShell first, and then maybe eventually you get a UI interface for it. But yeah. This is a set of controls that you now have to, I'm going to use their blog marketing speech, to help keep your data safe no matter where people are when they access or share data. What device they're working on, how secure, okay, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this essentially lets you set session lifetimes, customize them, and how often, how frequently users are prompted for their credentials. A threshold for when a user is warned and signed out of SharePoint or OneDrive after a certain period of inactivity. So this just makes sure that, hey, my user goes into a Apple store or a Microsoft store and signs into SharePoint because I don't know why, for whatever reason, that it's going to time out really quickly and it's not going to keep that session live active for a long period of time. So just help secure that SharePoint environment, lock it down even more.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this one is it's driving session controls, but it's not messing with things like your token lifetimes or anything that's being issued from Azure AD. But it can drive a logout in Azure AD, because when you're signed into SharePoint Online, you're signed into Office 365. So you're signed into Azure AD to have all that stuff come across and get to where it is. So there's a couple things that happen with this one. So if you configure this, it is a tenant level setting. It's not a per site collection or per site setting. It's going to apply to everything in your tenant. And it is scoped or limited to SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business, because OneDrive for Business is SharePoint Online. But the thing you have to think about is, say you implement a control like this, if a user, again, if they're signed out of their OneDrive, they're going to be signed out of all Office 365 workloads, or realistically all Azure AD workloads. And then, like everything else, there's a couple of ways for users to go ahead and work around this one themselves. So if you've ever logged into, say you're a shop and you're doing cloud only logins, when you go through that new modern login experience, you know, page one, put in your, or step one, put in your username. Step two, put in your email address. Step three, it pops up that form where it says, would you like to see these logins last? And it still has the keep me signed in button.
Yep.
or the KMSI going on. So if a user has keep me signed in enabled and they've selected that during sign in, guess what? Idle session controls don't apply to them.
Nice.
Because that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So let's have an admin control where you can go ahead and kick people out based on your organization's policies, procedures, rules, all those good kind of things. Hey, we need to be compliant to do this. Oh, by the way, users can override the admin control.
Oh my. But that's only on managed devices, it looks like.
And
will
no,
not
no,
send
no.
out users who are on managed devices. Oh, or that was an or, not an and.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an important logical operator there. Or and.
It is. Managed devices is an interesting one too. So this does not apply. So say you go ahead and configure this and, you know, I want to sign everybody out of SharePoint after 15 minutes of inactivity. So the keep me signed in thing, yeah, kind of annoying.
Yep.
This one, same kind of thing. If it is a managed device, so if it's Azure AD domain joined, or it's been marked as compliant, like say it's registered with Intune or the MDM service within Azure AD there, then you're going to be all set there too. It's not going to respect your admin setting. It's basically going to let the client go ahead and override it. So this is really a control, like you said, for when users are not within your network, they're not in your corporate devices, they're not doing all those kinds of things, they're out and about someplace else, and you want to make sure that they get signed out in a kind of timely manner.
Yep. And it gives you a few different options there. One, so the command is set SPO browser idle sign out. It's just enabled or not, how long you're going to warn them that, hey, you've been idle, you're going to get signed out, and then how long until they're actually signed out. One other thing is that the mouse movement or scrolling up and down does not actually include an activity.
Nope, so got to be a click.
Yep. So if they're just browsing a SharePoint site and scrolling up and down, you don't want to set this too short because they won't actually be able to like read an entire news article before they get signed out. If all they're doing is just scrolling up and down on a SharePoint page and reading it. It's all tied to that, those requests going back and forth between the end user and the SharePoint servers.
Yeah. And I guess I should throw out too, like there's some things you can do. So if you edit your company branding, so you've gone ahead and, you know, maybe, I don't know if that one requires an Azure AD premium these days or not. I can never keep all the SKUs straight. But if you...
it still does.
Yeah, so within company branding, you do have an option to go ahead and hide the keep me signed in button. So that is something that you can go ahead and have happen for your kind of cloud-only users. And then, of course, if you're like ADFS-driven or federated, things like that, you'll have whatever control through your vendor.
All right, interesting. I haven't turned this one on yet. This one is disabled by default. So this is a feature that, at least currently, is not enabled with some idle session timeout set. It's something that if you do want to use this, leverage this, you have to go turn it on. It will take about, they have an approximately, everything's approximately because they have no guarantees. There are no guarantees in the cloud. About 15 minutes after running the command, it'll get enabled. So don't run the command and expect it to be there immediately. It will take some time to propagate through and become enabled for your entire tenant.
Yep. And that's important because it will be enabled for your entire tenant.
Yes. Everywhere for everyone. So I don't know. Nope, I'm not even going to talk about that. That'll be a different topic another day. So one other admin one. Do you want to try to sneak one more in here?
Sure.
All right. There is now, well, this is kind of admin, kind of developer-y almost, but it came from Bill Baer, so we can call it IT Pro. the availability of the page diagnostics tool for SharePoint. So, interesting enough, it is a Chrome browser extension.
Yes,
not
it is.
not an Edge browser extension. Anyways, this lets you go in and get detailed information on various characteristics of your SharePoint page. If you're having issues on your page, it will essentially go do diagnostics on there. It'll look at stuff like the SharePoint request duration, latency, page load time, the current URL will be evaluated, and it'll do different checks running as a standard user, request to SharePoint. You can check the CDN settings, large image sizes. If your SharePoint site is going slow, having issues, this tool will really help you dive into what might be causing that performance issue and what you can maybe do to help fix it.
Yeah, it's trying to drive some behaviors for you too. So it's going to call out things like, hey, you're using a content by query web part on this page. Did you know that's really slow? So maybe you want to use a content search web part, like if it's applicable and you can get it over and make it do what you need to get it to do and all that good kind of stuff. There's also some network tracing light kind of built into that. I don't necessarily know why you would really need this one because you've got network tracing built into the Chrome developer tools anyway. But, you know, whatever, it's there. Makes a nice little button and you know, you get it exportable and all those kinds of things. So if you are looking at a particular page, you want to understand the performance characteristic, how long it's taking to load, and what's going on there, you can also go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and this will help too. I know I've had people where they go to load a SharePoint site and they're like, this is really slow, what's taking so long? Let's face it, you're running in the cloud. It could be your internet connection at the time. There could actually be something going on with SharePoint Online that is causing the slowness, or it could be that you added something to your site that's causing the slowness. This can help you narrow down exactly where that issue is, if it's you, if it's something with the internet, if it's something with Microsoft. Gives you that nice snapshot of your page diagnostics.
9 times out of 10, it's always something with me.
It's always the end user. That's what admins say. Always the end user. It's always the end user's fault, or it's developer's fault for writing a bad web part or a SPFX.
As long as there's someone to blame, I mean, that's really all we need.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that about does it for some of the recent SharePoint news, SharePoint announcements that have come out kind of last month and a half or so.
Cool. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Go enjoy the rest of your day, and we will talk to you later.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.